But what people don't realize is that there's thousands and millions of reviews left on actual services.
Yeah.
And so what we do is we go out and pull all of the public facing review sites, so third party review sites, and we pull it in for these large corporations so that they can have one platform to look at, okay, what do people really think about me out there in the unsolicited world?
Yeah.
Welcome to AI for Business Growth, the podcast from pioneering artificial intelligence entrepreneur, Dr. Andre Bates. This show aims to demystify AI for all business people, from startup entrepreneurs right through to Fortune 500 companies. Each episode focuses on all things AI and future tech to help you and your business to navigate through and benefit from the sometimes confusing but magical world of AI-powered tools to grow businesses.
To today's show, which is about how to know if your company's reputation is strong and how to fix it if it's not with artificial intelligence. Your reputation is the single most important aspect of your business, and it affects everything from the number of followers right through to the bottom line. People want to make the best choice when they're buying a product or service, and they usually base that choice on the reputation of the person or company that seems superior. So whether it's attracting top employees or business opportunities, a good reputation impacts your bottom line. But can artificial intelligence help you improve your company's reputation and business results? My guest today is Joe Fuca, who is the CEO of Reputation, which is a company that has changed the way companies improve their customer experience and reputation through customer feedback and artificial intelligence. Welcome, Joe.
Thanks. Good morning. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I am great. Looking forward to talking to your audience.
Well, you've got a really impressive background. I was reading that you actually joined DocuSign when it was a few people and built it to a $250 million company within 4 years. It's pretty amazing. Could you tell us maybe more about your background and what you've been doing and how you ended up as CEO of Reputation?
Yes, would love to. Yeah, so it's interesting. I've always had a passion for what the consumer thinks and what the consumer experience is. And so in early 2011, I had talked to the then founder of Reputation.com over dinner about what he was doing with the business. And so it was interesting that we got to meet way back in 2011. Fast forward to 2018 when I became the CEO. So it's always interesting to keep good friends. but in 2011, I was with a company called McAfee, which is the kind of the
classic. I know them. Yeah, of course. Yeah. Security.
So I ran the consumer division, which focused on consumers and their security. And it was interesting. I worked remote on certain days. That sounds funny nowadays, but back then we used to work remote on Fridays. And I used to sign these contracts for our business. And I was asked to trial this thing called DocuSign, and the legal department brought it to me and said, hey, this is a legal document. You can actually sign it from your house. And I'm like, you mean on my phone or my computer? And they were like, sure, yeah, it's completely legal. And so fast forward about 3 months later, I was talking to the CEO of DocuSign, and he kind of explained to me what the mission of DocuSign was, and I took over their worldwide go-to-market business. And so we educated a market on an area that was completely brand new to people, to actually not sign documents with their pen, to not use a fax machine, and to not send a Federal Express overnight.
And I remember those days.
Yeah, I was going to say, for those of you in the audience that remember those days, I don't know if I've used a fax machine in the last couple of years.
I don't even know if they exist anymore.
But since your audience loves to talk about artificial intelligence, even at DocuSign, it was really important to us to understand the types of documents that were being signed. And we had a small data science team there as well, where we looked at the way things were being signed and the way the consumer experience was. We called it a signing ceremony. And so it was really exciting the way we built the business and put some of the infrastructure there. And then in 2016, when I left DocuSign, I kept contact with the founder of reputation.com. And that's when I looked into what they were doing. And then in 2018, I became the CEO. So there's your mini brief history.
Nice. Wow. Well, you've worked for some very interesting companies. You've had a really nice rate. I really like the fact that also with DocuSign that you started using it and then went to see the company. So that's pretty cool. So let's talk about reputation and the platform. Can you tell me what business problems the platform solves?
Yeah, I mean, I think in a quick summary, it's the whole concept of consumer-based companies wanting to be found on the web, mm-hmm. wanting to be chosen, so meaning they have a really good reputation, yeah. and then be able to get better based on what their consumers or patients are telling them.
Yeah.
So in a nutshell, that's what the platform does. You know, how can I be found? How can I be chosen as your premium service? And then how can I get better based on what I learn?
Wow, that's really interesting. Actually, that's got a lot of applications for pharmaceuticals. Here I go. I should look at this a bit later, but I'll hear more about what it's doing. But it was just occurred to me. I read an article about probably 7 or 8 years ago about a study that was done between different brands. And it found that in coffee shops like Dunkin' Donuts versus Starbucks, the consumers saw it as a huge difference. Whereas two different drug brands that were basically for the same thing, it saw as interchangeable. And so, you know, even reputation in pharmaceuticals is a big, big area that's really important because it, as an industry,
yeah, especially
have the best.
I would imagine. So there's two types of reputation in the world in that example. There's brand reputation,
yeah.
which is probably the pharmaceutical, the company that makes it, has some kind of brand association. And then in the coffee example, it's literally the experience of the consumer all the way from the drive-through to the walk-in to the experience to the actual coffee. Yeah. And those are so different than brand and experience are so different. So
very interesting.
And you know, reputation is an interesting company because when I first spoke to the founder, they were a consumer focused company.
Yeah.
And so when they were founded in 2006, they focused on consumer reputation, which was interesting, but it wasn't really where the market was yelling out for. What they're really yelling out for is company reputation, healthcare reputation, and you know, what can we do to really help one another choose these really important services? So in 2013, the company shifted. And so the reputation today is the company that was created in 2013.
Okay.
And that company went from $0 to $100 million in revenue. So it's pretty exciting.
Wow. Amazing. I mean, I think you've got a good touch with companies. You get you on the board or on the CEO ship and you're a few hundred million in a few years. It's impressive.
Trying to. Yeah.
So how long did it take to get the platform to the stage it's at now?
Well, it's interesting because we switched the business in 2013. What you'll hear a lot about is, you know, with artificial intelligence and machine learning, is the longer you keep that machine learning engine in place, it's sort of like wine, it gets better with time, right? And so some of the industries that we serve, healthcare providers, have been on the platform since 2014. Kaiser Permanente, Ascension, Advocate, Aurora. These are multi-billion dollar healthcare providers, Banner Healthcare, Sutter. So it depends on where you are in the country. One of those probably rang out to you. but you know, the time frame of being on the platform is really important because essentially what we do, we have a group of 12 data science professionals that essentially look at the data. And the more you're on the platform, the more themes, the more taxonomies get created from the platform. And so it becomes really interesting when you look at certain types of services and you can zero in on what you can improve on.
So how do they use it? So just talk me through the platform itself and what are the benefits they're getting? How do they use it?
Yeah, so think of it this way. Have you ever read a review?
Yes, many times.
Yeah. So some people think that, you know, you can read reviews on products, which is, you know, if you're, you know, shopping for an outfit, or if you're trying to buy some clothes or whatever, that's the most popular reviews. But what people don't realize is that there's thousands and millions of reviews left on actual services.
Yeah.
And so what we do is we go out and pull all of the public facing review sites, so third party review sites, and we pull it in for these large corporations so that they can have one platform to look at, okay, what do people really think about me out there in the unsolicited world?
Yeah.
Which is reviews and social, so Twitter, those types of things. And then what do people think of me in the private world? Things like surveys, and we're all used to those. And so what's happened over the years is that people now have gotten really smart about doing things like, well, after you leave your doctor's office, they send you what's called a review request. And the review gets filled out, and then you say what your experience was like. Or they send you a survey, and so now it's private for their reading information only.
Yeah.
And that industry is what we serve. And so we pull all that data into one platform so that these large corporations can see what's the themes, right? What's happening? And so am I a 4-star doctor, or am I a 5-star doctor? Am I a 2-star doctor? That's a big significant change. And I think when you and I are looking for healthcare, we want to make sure that we have a doctor who gets 4 stars or greater.
Yeah. For anything, really. Yeah. I have to say, quite frankly, you know, I look at lots of reviews, and you look at not just if they're 4 or 5 stars, but you're looking at how many people contributed to the review as well. You know, if you've got 5 stars and you've got one person, you don't care.
It doesn't matter. Yeah. Think about, you know, for a lot of us that are, you know, in a certain age group, we have parents that are going through transitioning into senior living homes. Imagine not having reviews or some kind of public peer thermometer to tell you whether that senior living facility really does right after you leave the interview.
Yeah.
And that's the key, right? That's what we're looking for,
trying
to get consumer feedback.
And what kind of data? So you mentioned review sites. I'm assuming also market research, internal feedback, anything on social media.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, think about one of our customers is Amazon, and they when they release new products, Amazon Web Services, which is a multi-billion dollar tech stack that people run their software on, they look for themes after they release certain products to the market. And so they use our product to pull all the Twitter feedback that they get on social. Mm-hmm. Whether it's on Instagram, Twitter, or what have you. And then you get all that feedback that comes into the platform. And then what our platform does, it looks for themes.
Okay. Right?
So, you know, uptime would be a theme in the software world.
Yeah.
Buggy would be a
big theme.
Right.
Yeah.
And so there, you know, a lot of companies literally look for real-time social feedback on events, on things that are occurring, especially if something bad happens. And so an immediate report coming to them that tells them what kind of feedback they're getting out there.
And how do they action? Do you give recommendations to them as well on what they need to do?
Yeah, so there's a couple of things going on here. What's really interesting is that we pull all this feedback into the platform, but it doesn't mean anything unless you're able to act on it.
Yeah.
And so we have this thing, essentially the ability to collaborate with the actual end user who left the review or left the survey or tweeted, and it's all an inbox. And so essentially what these companies do that are our customers is they respond directly to that consumer with positive feedback, negative feedback, suggestions. And so the system is smart enough through AI that it'll actually help that marketing person or that operations person respond to that review or survey in a very creative and smart way, so that they can answer thousands of these a day in some cases.
Wow.
And so the AI gets in there and looks at the taxonomies of that industry. Mm-hmm. So let's say it's healthcare, or let's say it's auto. It'll know the difference between an oil change issue
yeah.
and you know, ER wait time, emergency yeah. room wait time, right? So
yeah.
very different industries. And so as the AI and machine learning gets smarter, it not only allows you to react to that data that you're gathering, it allows you to act in an inbox that's on our platform. So it's one thing to pull it in. It's yeah. another to understand the data. Then it's another to be able to respond to that data and take action. Where we kind of feel like in 2022 that the theme this year is, you know, if you can't take action on what you're hearing on the analytics side, then it's really not worth doing the
Absolutely. Analytics. Yeah. Totally. And I was reading about your reputation score on your website. Could you tell us what that is and how that works?
Yeah, no problem. So we, several years ago, we decided to create the reputation score, the data science team did. And they really stands, the reputation score stands outside of the company in terms of reputation. It's a very public way of real-time analysis on how you're doing as a company in your industry.
Yeah.
So think of it as like a FICA score that is like when you go to, you know, do your classic credit score.
Yeah.
Think of the rep score. It's industry-based, based on 9 different listening posts.
Okay.
It's all public.
Yeah.
And so it's really interesting because it has become very, very attractive in the auto space, healthcare, property management, senior living, where companies want to rank high on the rep score in their industry. And so today we do 4 reports a year where we rank companies in these different industries. And they get really excited when they're in the top 5 and they do commercials. And, you know, AutoNation's ran several commercials nationwide on their reputation score. Cortland has just did a huge advertising campaign on their reputation score. They're a property management firm because, you know, you want to be known as someone that takes their services super, super serious.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of companies like Hendrick Auto, where Mr. Hendrick himself will look at the reputation score with his e-staff every Monday and yeah. say, all right, how are our 400 dealers really doing?
Yeah.
What is their reputation score? How do they rank? How do they rank versus their competitors down the street? And so we found that the reputation score as an independent metric was really important for people.
What kind of elements go into the reputation score?
Yeah, it's really interesting. If, you know, we look at the star ratings as probably the number one, because that's mm-hmm. actual kind of publicly known feedback.
Yeah.
As you stated earlier, without even talking to me, mm-hmm. the number of reviews matters. So if you just have one positive review, yeah. one negative review, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Volume matters. And
yeah.
if you're a really good company like Pearle Vision or Luxottica, who makes the eyeglasses and sunglasses, the more reviews they get, the more positive reviews they get.
Mm-hmm.
People used to be scared of the volume of reviews. Well, now they're not, because they realize that the volume actually matters and you can actually get more positive reviews. So it's star ratings, it's review volume, it's review spread, meaning multiple environments that track reviews. So it's not just Google or it's not just Yelp, it's some more and more platforms.
Sure. Okay.
Review recency, was it within the last year?
Yeah.
The length of the review. We also do things called search impressions. So number of impressions on that particular company.
Okay.
So there's a whole area of our product that we haven't talked about today, which is the how do people find you on Google?
Yeah.
And then what's the connection between Google search and the reputation score? It's actually really important, because what people don't know is that the review star ratings count for 17% of the Google search engine.
Wow.
So people don't know this. So if you get positive reviews, you're going to come up higher in organic search than your mm-hmm. competitor. And so search impressions, listing accuracy, do I have the right work hours? Do people be able to find my company easier? All of that goes into the reputation score, and it's a very public score.
Yeah, really interesting. How easy is it for someone to use the platform to navigate things like this?
It's really easy. Like if you got into the opening dashboard, you know, like on your mobile phone, it tells you your rep score. It tells you how you're doing. And it's literally a green, yellow, red thermometer.
Oh, and it tells
you how you're doing against your business, your industry. And then it shows star ratings right underneath that. And then you have your surveys. You know, what we haven't talked is the private side of the world. You know, there's a whole nother world of people that are sort of looking at what a consumers or patients think about them through surveys. And so there's this kind of traditional NPS score that people have used for years. And we have learned to embrace both sides. I think 4 years ago when I first took over, I was all, you know, passionate about going with just the reputation score because it's public, it's real time, you can get your arms around it. NPS and those types of what I'll call traditional survey metrics, you know, those are kind of gathered monthly and then you're responded to over a 2 month period. They're not really real time, but I can see the necessity because it digs deeper into certain issues about the service. And so we do both. We do the private surveys and we do the reputation and we pull them together all in one dashboard.
So how does your service differ from the traditional Net Promoter Scores, corporate reputation quotient, et cetera?
Yeah, well, I think the online real-time nature of what we do is super different because you're responding to those surveys and to those reviews.
Yeah, so someone's disgruntled, you're right back at them straight away to discuss it.
You know, we have this thing that we do with Kaiser Permanente where they'll have real-time service. And so you know, we have an example where this mother and their child had really negative experience. So they stated that, and Kaiser had real time system put in place. So they literally texted her when she was out in the parking lot with her kid and said, "Hey, please come back in. We want to make this right." And so that woman came back in with her child, they made it right. And so those are the kinds of things that we need to do. And the new world is all about real time. It doesn't mean the survey world is not important. And so when we look at both sides of that, we really want to be able to understand the extended surveys as well, because you can learn more about specific things. But it just think of it this way. You've got kind of your classic real-time public view, and you've got your classic traditional view where people are doing these extended surveys, long surveys, where they can understand kind of a deeper analysis, but it's not real time.
So just to get my head straight, so it analyzes everything, gives you where you are and what's going on. It gives you the real-time feedback if, say, someone had a negative score about a buggy software or something. What does the platform then give specific recommendations on what to do about it?
Yeah, so we have this thing called predictive analytics.
Mm-hmm.
What happens is through the AI and through the system, we'll actually tell you how to improve your reputation score.
Okay, good.
So we'll look into what we're getting as feedback and we'll say, hey, you know, you've got a problem with clean bathrooms in your 42 facilities out of 100. Yeah. And so they'll get the actual locations that are ranking really low with clean bathrooms. I'm just using basic
examples.
Because I don't want to get into like healthcare with that. Well, your acute healthcare is in trouble. You know, we want to, but just use generic examples.
Yeah.
Happens a lot with restaurants, happens a lot with other service facilities where they'll get spike areas where we need to give them predictive analytics and help them understand, hey, these are the three things that you need to improve. You need to improve your positive reviews on this type of area in your business. Remember, we're location based, right? So I understand exactly what location is having issues. Think of taxonomies in a specific industry.
Mm-hmm.
It could be billing issues. It could be anything to do with bedside manner in healthcare. These are the types of things that jump off the page, and we can zero right into where the areas are happening.
So that makes it really easy for the clients to then act on those kind of recommendations.
Yes.
It's interesting. And so, how else are brands using the platform? Do they all use it like in a different way, or is it always fairly uniform the way they use it?
Well, because it's a platform, there's several different use cases for it.
Okay.
So as an example, one of the largest healthcare providers in the middle of the country uses us for a find a doctor functionality. Well, what is that, Joe? It is literally a product that takes, if I have all the doctors and all the hospitals in my platform, then why not make it super easy for you, the consumer, to find them? Well, what most people don't know is that 50% of Americans below the age of 40 do not have a primary care physician. They literally search on their phone, I have a lower back problem, I just heard it playing tennis, I'm located here, I need a doctor. Okay. And so they'll type that into the Google search and it'll come back with results. And it'll actually tell them, you know, the five doctors that can help him with his lower back problem based on review volumes. And so that particular company, as an example, has done 7.5 million searches in the last 12 months. 5 million providers were served up out of those 7 million searches, and $1.5 million appointments were tied to that search. So yeah, you start looking at that kind of a funnel, it's the new way into these providers. So that's an example of a very different way of using the technology. And we have companies in the auto industry that love to see how they're doing against their competitors. And so we have this product called Competitive Intelligence. And so everything that I've been telling you about, where you look at your own company for the strengths and weaknesses based on the public feedback, you can now look at the guy down the street or the lady down the street, right? And so you've got, I mean, we all know in the auto industry, there's usually three or four of the automakers lined up on the same street.
Yeah.
Well, now you can literally see how you're doing in your services compared to your people on the same street or anywhere in the zip code. And it's really kind of fun because they can zero in on weaknesses.
Yeah.
You know, let's say it's a bad service company next door to you, and you can really use it against them and show how good a service you guys have. So
yeah,
competitive intelligence, different ways to understand how people find a provider. Well, there's all kinds of different, you know, examples in different industries. It's a lot of fun because a platform can be used for many things.
It's amazing. Are there any types of businesses that you would say it doesn't work for?
I think we don't do product reviews, right? So if back to Amazon, even though Amazon Web Services uses us, Amazon from a e-commerce standpoint would not use us for a number of 4-star ratings for clothing or whatever you want to use as an example. So companies that don't have locations, that don't have any kind of presence directly with a consumer. So if you're a manufacturer with no consumer presence, you wouldn't necessarily touch that. But our social listening tool does work with business to businesses and brands.
Okay.
Because a lot of them want to understand what people are saying about them on social platforms. So it depends on the market. If they have a heavy location consumer based, right down the middle for us.
So if it was a B2B and they were interested in just the social media, so would it do the same sort of thing where it would weigh up what's going on in social media, and basically if there were some negative things happening, it would immediately tell you that you could go straight in and start interacting?
Yes. And so it would have it actually has like meters, and it's a very exciting UI because you can see, I'll just use a sports example. So if, a lot of times you'll see these, the feedback on Twitter, super positive when a team is winning. Yeah. And then the moment they lose, you'll see this sort of red, you know, everything's kind of indicated green, red, right? Or yellow.
Yeah.
You can tell from the comments. So now they lost. And so now, of course, the coach and everybody involved with the team is horrible. And so you have this sort of, like, you can use that example because you can totally understand what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Anything you would find if, you know, with the Chipotle incident 3 or 4 years ago with the chicken or what have you, immediate feedback on social is so important to these companies.
Yeah. If you had a client that had a poor reputation and they started using it and implementing recommendations, how quickly do you think it would take to start to improve their reputational index?
It's a really good question. You know, we we feel like within like a 2 to 3 month time frame, we can make an impact.
Okay.
First, you have to measure in order to understand how well you're doing.
Yeah.
Well, remember earlier when I told you we did these rep score reports, you know, people that are that ended up last that list of 20 usually get pretty sensitive. And so over the years, we've helped, you know, the 20th company become number 5 often because A, they have to start caring about measuring.
They're motivated.
And then I think I told you a little bit earlier about Mr. Hendrick and Hendrick Otto. They, once they put that rep score in their e-staff board meetings on Monday mornings, it became a way that they judged themselves. And so their scores immediately went up because they started caring more about hearing the consumer.
Yeah.
By allowing them to react to the consumer and respond, it just made the whole business better. And so that's why we feel like this is a big revenue impact too, because the more people that like you will stir up more consumers to do business with that company.
Absolutely. I love what you're doing. I mean, it's so interesting, particularly the fact that it's real time, you know, because all of the others that I've seen, as you say, you know, it's, they collect it monthly or whatever, but this one, it's real time. You can go straight back in while it's fresh, because later, if you went back a few weeks after they'd done it, they'd be like, what, who, when?
and a lot of times they don't, could you imagine getting phone surveys today? Like, are you really going to answer that phone and do a phone survey? How about in the mail surveys? I don't know how you are at home, but like, I don't even, like, my wife has the kids throw the stuff away now. So we don't even, I don't even look at them when I get home. I guess it's horrible, but like, if it's not personalized mail, I don't read it. So now you've lost these sort of avenues for the kind of extended surveys. At the end of the day, you need to respond quickly. Otherwise, people forget about what they were either excited or mad about.
Yeah, exactly. I guess that's the power of artificial intelligence in it. It's actually instant and quickly giving you recommendations, analyzing what the key thing to focus on is. So
yeah,
very, very interesting.
Well, the AI side of this is so, so fun, because you can look at the loyalty of your customers in such an interesting way, because they can keep track of that particular consumer over time. And so what we found is more and more of our customers are marketing the consumer based on whether they were positive or negative on their reviews, or positive and negative on their surveys.
Yeah.
And I can see acquisition picking up based on the way they feel about you. And so it's a very warm lead if somebody leaves a 5-star rating.
Yeah, it's really amazing. Well, I think that there's probably a lot of people listening who would like to check out your platform. So for anyone wanting more information on reputation and how you can use it in your business, go to the website reputation.com, very easy to remember. And there's some videos, there's a lot more information on there, or reach out to the team at Reputation to find out more. Thank you so much for coming on today, Joe. It was fascinating hearing about what you're doing, and I really, really find your platform very, very powerful. So thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you. And look forward to listening to more podcasts for you.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this episode of AI for Business Growth with Dr. Andre Bates. If you have received huge value from this show, or maybe this episode has highlighted how you can use AI in your business, then we would love for you to support the show by leaving us a 5-star rating wherever you download your podcasts. For more information on the subjects covered in this episode, links mentioned during the conversation, or to connect with Dr. Andre, click the link in the show notes now. Plus, make sure you hit the subscribe or follow button on your podcast app now to make sure you never miss an episode.